Oh, crap. I'm on mic now.
You've been on mic. And he's very annoyed.
Support this podcast and keep us going. Go to everydaynovelist.com/support to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life.
Welcome to The Questions, episode 707. Today we hear from Avril, who asks,
as you would know, when working on a book, at some point you need to pick someone to do the cover. I was wondering if you had some tips on picking the right company to do your cover. If so, would you walk us through the process of picking that company?
Yes. Step one, email me. Step two, hire us. Though we do this. And you can see the most recent cover we've done, we'll have a link to in the show notes here. We've been doing some fun stuff lately. Kitty, you're actually the expert on this. Let's talk shop.
First of all, I wouldn't limit my search to companies because a lot of people that are doing covers within the price range that a new author can afford are going to be one-horse operations, going to be people you find on Fiverr and stuff like that. What I would honestly recommend is looking for cover art and learning to do the covers using Scribus or Photoshop or Illustrator. InDesign, yeah.
Well, you'd more want Photoshop or Illustrator for that, right?
No, if you're doing the layout, you want InDesign.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. But, yeah, okay. So what you're saying is find the artwork, license existing artwork, and use and learn typography.
Typography is the easiest and most difficult part, a good cover. Because depending on the book you do, you can have a blank green cover for your art. And
with good typography, boom. Like the new Kurt Vonnegut covers that have been around for the last few years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are fantastic, yeah. Or, I mean, the original Jurassic Park cover was just typography and a stick drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that takes care of where to find someone, but doesn't take care of how to figure out what you need. And that's actually the more difficult part. How to find someone is pretty easy, especially once you know what you need. But learning how to figure out what you need is more difficult.
Start by figuring out what genre you have. And if it's something in between genres, like a lot of Dan's work, decide what genre you want to sell within.
Yeah.
If you're in an edge case genre, it's the genre that you can't describe the book without using the...
There's certain genres that trump, right? Like science fiction trumps everything.
Right. If you're doing a science fiction detective series, you describe it as science fiction with detective elements rather than a detective show in space.
And with two exceptions, setting trumps everything. So your historical, your fantasy, your science fiction, those genres trump everything else that your story might be as a subgenre of those things.
Mm.
The three for whom that's not true are romance, adventure, and horror, and those are mood genres.
That's not exactly true for romance. For romance readers, the setting can be very, very, very important. Like,
oh, yeah.
If it is a historical, the time period matters.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you've got I was thinking of Twilight, because Twilight's fantasy, but it's actually romance, and it got pitched as literary romance in order to find its footing.
Really?
Yeah. Think of the covers.
Really? Wow.
Very artistic, singular, very much evocative of sort of dark romance.
Okay.
Well, it's gothic romance.
Yeah, I thought they were going for the goth audience.
Goth, oh.
Right.
Well, yeah, okay, anyway.
Not gothic, but goth. Like goth.
All right, maybe it's a bad example. So let's say that those three genres can trump if they're not going up against science fiction.
Okay.
Or historical. If it's historical, you get the hybridization. But Oh, I'm feeling so lost with this question. It's one of those things that it's like trying to...
Romance does trump everything else, but with romance, the subgenre is hyper important. There are subgenres of romance that do not cross-pollinate.
The most difficult part of finding a cover creator is figuring out enough about how covers work to have an idea of what you want. Once you have an idea of what you want, you pick the artist. And you pick the artist based on work that they've done. You see that they can do the kind of thing that you want, and if they're evoking the sort of feel that you want, or you think they might be able to, and you ask them for a sample of something that's not in their portfolio, then you come to terms. Figure out what you can pay, what they're willing to accept, and the contract becomes really important because you need to have the ability to use the artwork on all your different covers and also to promote your stuff in, like, advertisements. But what other rights they retain is an open question, and that's subject to negotiation. We tend to retain all of the rights because, you know, we like to do, or we have intentions of doing, say, calendars and other stuff in the future. Though if an author came to us and said, hey, I really, really want that, we could work out a deal for them to have usage rights. But we don't actually sell all rights. That's part of how we create value for our company and ensure our own retirement, as we hold on to as many rights as we can. And that, frankly, should be your goal, too. But if you know what it is you absolutely need, then you know what it is you need to be flexible on. And after that, it's just the finer points of the deal, like how many revisions and how radical they should be and all this sort of stuff. That's stuff that mostly you worry about from the artist's end, because sometimes clients can not know what they want, but they know they don't want that, and that's a terrible thing. So if you're going to an artist, don't be that person. If you don't actually know what you want, but you know that their style works for you, accept what they give you. If you do know what you want, be specific up front so that you don't lock both of you into this endless rounds of rewrite hell. And a good artist will have a limit on the number of revisions baked into the contract anyway, because if you've been around this block a few times, you've had a few of those clients, and the problem with those clients is not that they're annoying, though they are, it's that nobody winds up happy. You wind up hating each other. Nobody likes to be locked into a never-ending project. And if you think that if you get just this one more tweak to your cover, you'll finally like it, it won't happen. It's like rewriting a story to death. You can't perfect a work of art by tweaking the details that you spot are slightly out of round. This isn't engineering or sculpture, this is gestalt. You can't alter a gestalt by altering a detail if you don't actually understand gestalt in the first place.
If your cover includes characters, be as specific as you need to be on the character's appearance, their race, their hair color, their eye color, hair texture, how tall and how muscular they are, and that applies to men and women. But if you don't give the artist that description, they'll come up with something, and it might look good, but it might not look at all like what you have the character as.
Yep. So anyway, I don't know if we've actually given good value for non-existent money with this question or not, but it's about what we got. Learn how covers work as marketing tools. Pay attention to your genre so you know kind of what the feel you're looking for is. But don't make the error I've seen some people make where they try to develop a formula. The cover for this genre has this many figures on it, it has this in the background, it has this color palette. You don't want your cover to look like everybody else's. You want your cover to look like it belongs with its peers, at the top of the pack. You want it to leap out so that it doesn't fade into the muddled mess of the pretty good ones. And you can do that either by having something that's damn spectacular or by having something that breaks the conventions very intentionally. But you want to understand the market you're going into and try to make your book look like your book that belongs on this shelf. It's a hard balance to strike, and it can take some people a while to get there. There's trial and error you'll learn as you go. And it doesn't help, of course, that the market's evolving underneath you all the time. So you don't ever reach a point where you know. But you do reach a point where you can get your finger on the pulse.
For what it's worth, pretty much all the independent authors that I know, at least for their first books, revised their covers between 2 and 5 years after they created them because either the genre changed or their knowledge of how covers changed under them. And after that point, it's like between 5 and 10 years that they revise their cover for market changes.
Yep. For our mystery series, it took us 6 books to really find the covers.
Mm-hmm.
That was a tough series to do.
And the weird thing is that the artwork and the photography for the first and the third book didn't actually change, but how it's put together has.
Mm-hmm. Really changed. And it was very hard to find those covers because we were looking to convey a very specific feel, and it took a while to find it. And once we found it, it's perfect. And
because it's a mystery and it's a Christmas book, so we had to convey both without making it feel like it was a happy Christmas book.
Right. So it took a while. And it can take a while. But once we found it, it really, really works. And on the other hand, the covers that we've done for Nathan Lowell were, we found them really fast. They worked wonderfully. And then the one we did for Crudrat, that we found that first time. Well, it was a second or third internal revision, but the one that released on the market is the one that's on there, and it works very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, it's like learning to feel the beat in music. Anyone can do it, but you have to be willing to relax and absorb as much as you're learning propositional things. And if you don't, well, it'll show when you go and cover design based on propositional talking points, because you can always tell those covers. They always look a little bit stilted and generic. So, anyway, for what it's worth, that's what we got for you. I hope it's helpful. And genuinely, if you would like us to take a run, we would love to have your business. Reach out to us at publisher@artisticwhispers.com, and we will get back to you. Check in the show notes for a sample of our most recent cover, and
The Everyday
we'll
Novelist
see you
is
tomorrow.
Written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.
Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.